Blog Talk Radio.
I live my life one day at a time. Hold my head so I don't lose my mind. Sometimes you might fall down, but you get back up. You get on your journey. Yeah, you keep on.
Greetings. It is our 7:30 show of Dear Anonymous. Greetings, and welcome to the show. This is Diane Rember. Are you there?
I am here, Jess. Good evening.
Good evening. Hi, lady. I am Jess, the host of Dear Anonymous. And I have the greatest support team. She is Mrs. Diane Rember. We're supported by her as our co-host, and she is the head of Diamond's World and Literary Extraordinaire. That is my title for her, and I could say so much more, but it won't fit. She's just too big of a person for me to get all of my words out about her. But thank you, Diane. And I'm Jazz. Welcome to the show, everybody,
You're
tonight.
You're welcome. There is a feedback coming back from your phone.
Okay.
Yeah.
How clear am I now?
It's the same.
Am I good? A little better?
It's the same. It's exactly the same.
How about now, Diane? Are we good? Don't want the listening audience to be hearing feedback. How about now?
It's the same. It's the same. But I guess we'll have to work with it. Yeah.
How about give me 2 minutes and I'm going to ask for a quick pause. Everybody, we're having a smidgen of technical difficulties, but I want to make sure that I'm clear, precise. Clarity is beautiful. So I'm going to ask Diane to introduce herself and let us know about her background, and I'm going to check out and check right back in. Cool?
Sounds like a
go
plan.
Ahead, Diane. Tell them a little bit about Diamond's Literary World, and I'll be with you in two seconds.
Okay.
Thanks.
So good evening, everyone. While Jazz is fixing her phone, I wanted you guys to know that I am Diane Rember. I am the founder of Diamond's Literary World, which is a literary blog that was created to highlight our literary industry or the books that I felt were not being given enough light. And so I created the platform probably about 6 years ago. And if you were on the line the other night, you know that it started out with just a blog, and then I added Diamond's World. After Diamond's World, I created the YouTube channel. After the YouTube channel, I've been doing a little bit of everything. So a jack of all trades, you can call me in the literary industry. I have had the honor of interviewing several authors, and this is my second go round with Jazz for doing something here on Diamond's World, and we are definitely honored to have each and every one of you here with us tonight. Now, Dear Anonymous, as we stated, Tuesday. It's a fairly new show. It's a new platform, and if you are, again, just tuning in, Jazz, the host, is having a little technical difficulty, and so I am standing in for her. My name is Diane Rembert. If you guys have any questions for me, if you need to know who I am, what I do, please feel free to reach out to me. So, so let me tell you where you can find me if you are trying to find Diamond Glittery World. You can find me on, Instagram, Goodreads, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat. Let's see where else. DiamondGlitteryWorld.com. And the newest venture is a partnership with Amazon, which has allowed me to have a Amazon storefront. So any books that you see me talk about on Diamond's Literary World, I forgot YouTube, and that is the breakdown. So any book that you hear me talk about, you see me write a review on, or that I recommend, can be purchased from the Diamond's Literary World storefront on Amazon. And our host for the evening has rejoined. Jazz, I'm going to give it back to you.
Thank you, Diane, and you always hold it down for me as usual. I had no concern whatsoever. Can you hear me clear now?
Oh, you are perfect now. You're perfect.
Thank you, ma'am. And as I stated before, my greetings. Welcome to Dear Anonymous. You guys have already heard, and you're pretty much familiar with Diane by now. And we'll go from there to indicate that Dear Anonymous is it's the talk show for the people. That's how I like to say it. That's how I feel about it. It kind of is my passion to make sure that we connect. But if you are new to the show, welcome and greetings. And please forgive us and be patient with us, with our technical difficulties. To be quite honest, it's a sign of the times. A lot of technical difficulties are going on with this world that we're living in, the pandemic, people being in. These shows can get pretty busy. It's like traffic jams, technical traffic jams. So thank you for your patience and allowing me to correct the little technical difficulties on my side. And again, welcome to Dear Anonymous. Dear Anonymous, as Diane was saying, it's a new platform, but the purpose of the show is to allow for simple communication to be created among all of us, to have what's inside of our heads out, to inspire each other via conversation. The whole premise of this show is that our words are free contribution to our human playground. And I'm having fun with mine, and I'm learning, and I'm being peaceful on this journey. But communication is like leaving you, little pieces of you. So it is a contribution and a connection that we all like to share and engage in. I find it to be my passion, and if it's something that I can do to help the next person, feel free to vent, feel free to discuss, feel free to share who they are and where they are in their lives. It helps a lot of us gain perspective, and we can go from there what we do with the information. I have a couple of things I need to tell you about, Dear Anonymous. We are sponsored by All Natural Alkaline Water, Alkalife 24/7. And Alkalife 24/7 is coming soon to an online store near you. What I hear is that Walmart Marketplace is promoting it and will be selling it soon. So get prepared to help your holistic ventures and the journey of wellness, and go get some of that 24/7, Alkalife 24/7. This talk show is being recorded, and that is for the benefit of us, so that we can go back and hear what we didn't hear the first time around and, you know, share the information with others. There may be someone that you know that requires some outlet, some communication. You know, talking is not as simple as people think. Listening isn't it either, but what we have to do is find a vehicle for getting what's inside out. That allows us to even hear our words. Sometimes you put things together different when you say it. And you would rather express yourself so that you do not feel emotionally pent up. This pandemic has caused a lot of private and personal imbalances in people's lives. This is just a forum where that can be. We share, we communicate, and we occupy ourselves. For the purpose of Dear Anonymous, we offer private sessions for those who need a listening ear. Alkalife 24/7 has provided us with an email address, and that email address is drinkalkalife24.7@gmail.com. That email address again is drinkalkalife24.7@gmail.com. That email can be given to anyone that needs private sessions. I have a whole squad of people that are just going to be listeners or communicators, males, females, all walks of life, all ages. And if you send us an email saying that you need just to have someone to talk to, we're going to be there for you. And that is what this circle of conversation is about, sharing and connecting. So, guys, we got a good one tonight. We have a special guest on all of our shows so that these special guests can share where they are in their walk in life. And this is a guy who I've known for some time now. His name is Cliff Harcum. I met Cliff intentionally, I say, because divine walks cross paths. And I met him at the University of Maryland Eastern Shore. He was doing a lot with the student body at that time. And Cliff happens to be one of my authors that I helped to publish one of his books that he had republished. Cliff has a huge, huge background. I can't even begin to tell you all of the accolades go along with his name. But what I do know is that he is one of those types of people that will press to express himself. He's passionate about living his life to the fullest. And he's a very, very, very open and good communicator. And that's in itself a unique gift to have as a black man here in America and the society that we're in. Now, he is on the line, and he's going to be joining us in 1 second. But what I want to tell you is that what we try to get from our guests is as much as we can. So all of our listeners, just pull it out of them. You know, give them some feedback on what they're discussing, and you share from your standpoint. That's what we're doing here. We're doing a circle of communication that will allow all of us to kind of support each other, take perspectives back to our communities, our jobs, our families. This is what helps us grow the show. Now, if I haven't told you guys, my main goal is to bring peace to someone. My outlet for communication stems from my own personal desires to, you know, share a bit of myself. I've had issues during this pandemic where I may have had a lonely moment or lonely moments, and I don't have anyone that I can call on. Family's great, but sometimes they're biased. I do have a circle of friends that I and family that I can lean on, but I would like for that same capabilities to be for all of us. And if you know someone who's in need, feel free to pass our information on. So now, without further ado, I'm going to introduce Mr. Cliff Harcum and let him tell you a little bit about himself. He's going to give us his titles, his background, and just kind of share with us where he is. Cliff, you there?
Yes, can you hear me?
We can hear Hello? You loud and clear. Diane, can you hear him good?
I hear him just fine, yes.
Okay,
that's
great.
That's
Mr.
Great.
Cliff Harcum, take the stage.
Hey.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, Cliff.
Well, first I wanted to say thank you for having me on. It's been some time since I've done an interview, honestly. I've been just, you know, below the radar. So,
you're a pro at this. You don't lose it. It's natural. You're a pro. Settle right in.
No, but I'm telling you, I think the premise behind the show is great, especially the conversation I guess we'll have today, or the things I want to speak about just speaking and just being open and honest and just having some dialogue. So I guess I can say a little bit about myself. I'm originally from Baltimore, Maryland. Ended up going to the University of Maryland, Eastern Shore for college. Graduated, started working there, and I worked there for about, I believe, what, from 2005 to 2018, 17, something like that. And throughout that journey, you know, I learned a lot about myself. I began writing a book in 2011, had it published in 2012. It's called Passion, and it was just about my life at the time. And as I was writing the book, it was sort of like a therapy. It sort of kind of spoke truth to me about a lot of things that I really didn't address internally. So it kind of helped free me up a little bit. And during that time as well, I had a son. So that kind of propelled me in a whole different type of mindset, being a father of a son. And my outlook was always, you know, once I had my son, I would never be a coward. I would be a man, the man that I needed to be for him, to show him what, what manhood was. You know, I didn't want to be a father that speaks a good game and not actually do what he says. So I became a little different when I had my son. Worked for the university, did a couple of jobs, a lot of different things. During my time at UMES, I did a lot of work in the community, working with youth, did a lot of things. I began writing again. Another book. My first book was called Passion. My second book was called Purpose. And my last book, I forget what it was called, but we ended up just putting them all together into one book, calling it Luminous. It was really just about self-discovery, providing some knowledge and experience that I've attained through life, and documenting it so that my son, as he got older, he could read it and have a conversation with his father well beyond the grave, you know, and something that could be passed down to generations. So I really appreciated Jazz and for taking the time out and helping me put something together that will last for generations, potentially and hopefully, that could be passed down through my family. You know, I'll live forever through that way and be able to share some thoughts and ideas with future generations. But So I used to work at UMES, and I'll get into the nitty-gritty, and I think this would be good for conversation. So time when I was working at UMES, you know, I was always going, helping people, really helping people. Like, it wasn't a gimmick, you know. It was really about helping the community, helping youth. That's what my life was. Like, seriously, a lot of people, it might be a show, it might be an act, but that's how I live. Personal, professional development, community outreach, you know, just doing the will of God in the lives of people. So I was on it for a while, but over time I started to feel like burnt out, you know. Just a lot of like burned out because when you're not taking time out for yourself and you're giving so much to other people, you drain yourself actually. And there was a lot of times I wanted to leave, and this crazy circumstances started happening in my life, things in my personal life with my son, just a whole bunch of stuff. Jealousy, envious people at work, all kinds of crazy stuff. And I just had it. I was done. I said, I cannot keep giving to people and just being hurt by people. Like, it's just, I need time for me.
Wow.
So I ended up, yeah, it was crazy. So I ended up quitting my, no. So during my time there, I used to take students out on like outdoor sort of activities. I was a director before I left. And to be honest with you, you know, for a long time, personally, you know, I was just a guy from Baltimore that my first job was McDonald's. I never really had any dreams or goals to become a director and do all of that stuff. I was just doing stuff. And then I ended up being in that type of position, which is great. You know, I had a lot of like confidence issues as a kid. So it was like an achievement to some degree. That was just one side, but I started being more involved in like outdoorsy sort of things. And what happened is I started to find out about myself is that I really enjoyed it, like camping and hiking and canoeing. So when I left, I decided that I wanted to live like that a little bit more, because that's when I felt more of myself. I felt more free. I felt like, you know, to me, this resonates with me. So one night, we just came up with this idea, me and my fiance, about just living now, you know, it's like, why wait for tomorrow? Like, live now. Like, take a break from the monotony of the 9 to 5, get out, do stuff. So, I don't know. I just ended up moving to an isolated place in the middle of nowhere. and for about 2 years, I've been doing the stuff that I love. You know, I still have a 9 to 5, which I can't wait to get out of one of these days. But, you know, my passion is to really be outdoors and live a life that's free. Just free and just doing what I love and doing what I'm passionate about. So dope concept is a whole idea, really, is to, you know, why wait for tomorrow to do the things that you want to do? Do it now. Like, get out here, be free, be peaceful, like, do what you love, follow your passions, and, you know, enjoy your life, because you never know when it's going to come to an end. So that's kind of what I've been doing, you know. I still work at another university, and it's cool, you know, I work in the diversity field, and that's interesting, you know. But my real joy is hiking, camping, getting on the water, just doing a lot of, like, risky things, just being out in nature. So the weather's nice now, so that's what I plan on doing. The coronavirus kind of messed some things up, but, hey, that's what I plan on doing long term.
Well, I have to step in real quick. Let me just see if I can give my two cents on a couple of things that you said. First of all, just congrats and applause on being courageous enough to follow your heart when it comes to the complexity of following your heart opposed to paying bills or being somewhere where you're shackled and feeling like that it really is a job. They say do what you love so that it doesn't ever feel like a job. So I understand where you're coming from, but it doesn't appear like a simple thing to do. So I applaud you for making that step, and it feels a little uncomfortable to me because I'm all jealous. I'm like, wow, so you could just really go and enjoy yourself, move to a couple of different towns and go outside anytime you feel like it.
And I'll tell you, like, when I left UMES, it felt good, you know. It's so funny.
Really?
And it might be embarrassing. To some people, but I don't care. Like, I live my life, right? I started Ubering, and I'm telling you, that was like – listen, I would do that if I could find a way to do that for the rest of my life and be able to sustain myself financially. I would.
I don't understand how freeing it is. There's a couple of celebrities or ex-celebrities that have been seen in cars Ubering, and they was like, "Listen, I can make my money, my time, and this is my car. I have no check-in, and you know, and it's just a supplement for my income."
I was out Ocean City every day, flip-flop, shorts, and T-shirt. I broke when I wanted to break, and I was basically making what I was making at UMES doing that. I was having a ball.
Wow.
If it was a way there seems to be
it's a big draw for It's a big draw for having the freedom to chart your own schedule.
And really, that's what it was about, the freedom to be able to communicate and just meet a lot of people, travel. I've driven in New York. It was just great. I'm not even going to lie to you. That kind of inspired me as well to say, like, you know, like, and that was scary. Like, I've never been in a position. I've been working since I was 14 years old. I've been on my own since basically I came to college, so 17. You know, I've always taken care of myself. So I've never really been in a position where I would ever believe I would leave a job and have responsibilities and have to figure it out. But, you know, to me it was more liberating because it was the fear that I had to face. And at the same time, I learned that I know what I have. I can survive. I know what to do what I have to do to survive. And it kind of gave me a lot more confidence in myself and in my abilities. And it showed me that I'm pretty a fearless person, despite how it might appear on the outside. You know, to me, I'm living my best life.
Well, you know, the analyzing yourself isn't really second nature to everyone. When you have to ask yourself questions, you wake up in the morning, you look in the mirror, and if there's a smile on your face, you know, go with it. If there's a frown and then that frown lasts for years or months or days, you do have to ask yourself the question of why. And if there is a place of misunderstanding about your own self,
you have a hard time designing what comes next. You in your confidence decided, I've given all I need to give. I'm going to step out faithfully and even with the risk and try to find what pleases you. And what people have a hard time understanding is that when you do that, you draw more of that to yourself. The laws of attraction. You know, your happiness gains more happiness by stepping out on faith. I am not by far telling anyone to quit their job and start going out and going to the river and swimming and boating. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is that you have to figure out inside of you where your happy spot is. And I'm a victim of a 9-to-5, and I've had times when I worked in corporate America in a rigid position. And then I went into self-employment. Self-employment is a scary place, but this society that we live in has a lot of opportunities out here, and you just have to think. And even if you don't think as you design for yourself, look what you did. You tapped into the Uber opportunity. You can tap into other things that seem to support, you know, self-employment and people being private contractors, gig workers. I mean, it's a name now.
Yeah.
We even have that when it comes to the pandemic and falling for employment. So you can be a gig worker and feel more satisfied with having control over your life. I think that at times we believe that the societal system is the only system, so we must follow it. And, you know, that works for some. It may not work for others, and that's where introspection and self-assessment comes in, but people are just not really comfortable with that. So I applaud you for being comfortable enough to look and feel it, you know, and work your way through it.
Yeah, but I'll be honest with you, like during this whole, like especially in the beginning, you know, it was a lot of, in a sense, sort of like an identity crisis. Like, you know, if you've been doing something for X amount of years, you know, certain type, professional, you know, it messed with me for a while. Like, that whole struggle of, like, identity. Like, what am I? Who am I? What am I supposed to do? Did I do the right thing?
Mm.
You know, the whole fear going. Mm. You know, I look at 9-to-5s, and I don't mean any disrespect because I'm working one now. But I look at this more as, like, I don't know. I look at the whole thing as, I don't want that. But
a form of slavery, possibly.
I look at it as a form of slavery in a sense, you know. So, you know, like just breaking free of those shackles mentally.
Shackles.
I think the mental part is the first part, because like right now, I do what I do, but ultimately in my mind, I'm like, hey, look, it's what it is. Like, I know that getting fired or leaving a job, I'm going to be okay. You know,
okay,
I know,
right.
But it won't be like the end of the world. My life's not going to be crushed if something were to happen career-wise because I've tested myself. You know, I tested myself in a situation that was very extreme, and I made sacrifices that, you know, so I don't know, but it wasn't easy. It wasn't like a simple thing where I just made a decision and I was happy every day. A lot of times I had to really like dig in and trust God and really just
Absolutely.
Think about who am I and what do I really want to do, and making sure that I never become a slave to the system again, like a 9-to-5 slave. It's a difference.
You know what, Cliff? And maybe this is a little obnoxious of me, because I have been in positions where I couldn't let go of a well-paying job because it had me, as you say, slave to it. I mean, I was making so much money that I just knew that needed to continue in order to keep me where I was. So it kind of shackled me. And the freedom of being able to turn against policies or procedures that I didn't really subscribe to, it's like you are incarcerated. But what I will say is in the back of my head, I kept saying, I would see little television shows and they would be like, if you want this job, you'll do X, Y, Z. Or, you know, people would say, I can't lose this job. You know, you'll never work again in this town. And all those things always seem foreign to me, because I thought to myself, if that's the last job on this planet threatening me with not being able to do anything forward, then we got a problem. I guess I'd just be out because, you know, egotistically, you want to be able to contain yourself and control whatever piece of happiness and your own guidance system. You know, and I'm not telling people to jump off the ledge, but a lot of us have found that self-employment needs to go along with employment. You can work at a job and still have mm-hmm. your peace of mind and control of the element of how you live. So you're doing that, and it is something that a lot of young men need to understand.
And one of the things that you said to me is my mantra, and I'm like, nobody's going to mess with that. It's my peace. Like, to me, my peace is more valuable than anybody I know and anything I have. And if you messing with my peace, I can't mess with you. That's just where I'm at in life, you know? Because peace is everything. Like, you know, like, who wants to deal with a bunch of stress? Who wants to deal with a bunch of negativity? Why put yourself in surroundings like that or entertain people and things like that? I know life has its stresses, and sometimes you have to do things you don't want to do. But at the same time, like, why indulge in it and why drink from the cup, you know?
Absolutely.
And even getting into the financial piece, when I was working at UMES and I was, like, considering, like, leaving anyway just for my own mental and emotional health, you know, I started becoming more of, like, a minimalist, like, cutting back on my self-indulgences, like, buying all kinds of stuff, trying to travel this. And, you know, I started wanting to live, like, a more simpler life anyway. And I realized, like, if you start living a more simpler life and not indulging in a whole bunch of nonsense, you can really sustain yourself anyway. You know,
I learned that the hard way. I was looking at my means, above my means. I learned that the hard way. It really didn't come second nature. It doesn't come second nature, Cliff. You have to be told. You have to be. It's not something that pops into your head, especially in our society. We're told to go for everything we need to go for. But to scale back is actual freedom. If you have a lesser of a need, you scale back and you give yourself more freedom. Your bills are never going to go anywhere. But you can control what you obligate yourself to. You can actually control that. And people do it every day, and we go in over and above. And I was overwhelmed, you know, at a point in time when I was making the most money, but it still did not feel like freedom that I had. You know, I'm rolling, but after I think about it, it almost enslaves you. It enslaves you to those bills and to those wants and those desires that you have to continue to put your money into.
And it's so funny because, like, ever since I, you know, first got my first job, getting a salary, I was indulging for over 10 years, you know, on nonsense, you know, just because I could, you know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Understood.
But then you do become like a slave to debt. You become a slave to who you owe. And, you know, you're still going to have to pay bills. You need a car unless you pay it off. You're going to have insurance. So you're going to have things that you need to do to survive in the world because it's just what it is. But it's like, why create more overhead for yourself than you need? Like, buy what you can, not get a lot of stuff on credit, or, you know, I don't know. I just like to relax, man, live a good life and take care of my responsibilities and just be, you know.
Now, I have some questions for you. I'm a little biased because I helped publish the book, but within the book and reading through it, I'm going to have to dabble and tap into some of your advice for young black men. And then I want to also know how you fared during the pandemic, because we all are living through something that we never lived through before. And it's actually, when people say nothing new under the sun, well, there's some new stuff under the sun now, because even though they had these Spanish flus and the other pandemics and things that hit, we are in a technology society that never existed before. So some of the things that we're living through with this pandemic are unheard of, which creates one of the reasons why I started this show, for people to express themselves. But I'm going to have a 2 to 3 minute quick musical break, and I'm going to come back and ask you a couple of questions and then open the phone line so that we can get some conversations. I had some people email me and say they wanted to chat with you, so we're going to go for it.
Okay.
But right now, to our listening audience, I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to play a selection by one of our beat producers that's special to our show. He goes by the name of Can't Get Right. He is a beat producer, award-winning beat producer, and I'm going to play a selection that he made specially for the show and let you guys just germinate for a quick second, and we'll be right back after this quick pause. And if you have any questions, be prepared. Set everything down in motion. Get ready for anything that you want to say to Cliff. It's all good for us. We are going to be here right through the hours that you need us to be. And again, I'm going to come back with a couple of email addresses and some other things that we'll need. But right now I'll go into the musical interlude. 2 to 3 minutes. We'll be right back. Okay, you guys, I don't know if my engineering specialty was good enough. I was playing the song from a third-party location. So hopefully it was a little clear enough. Our technical difficulties were eyeing out a little bit, but we are going to get back to the session that we're having with Mr. Cliff Harcum. And I have some questions I want to throw out at him. Hopefully everybody's back and ready. I have at least two subject matters I want to discuss, and then we want to take open calls in the next few minutes. So, Cliff, if you had to share with us something important and vital from your writings or your life experiences, what would that be?
I would say live your life the way you want to live it. Like, really just don't let other people dictate how you live your life, whether they're telling you directly how to live or indirectly trying to get their approval. Just live your life. You know, you only have one life to live, and this pandemic has probably shown a lot of people, like, anything can happen. Anytime you can go. So really, why not live the life you want to live while you can live it? To me, that's very important.
Mm-hmm. And when you mentioned the pandemic, like I said, there's some unknown experiences that I didn't think that I would ever get to. Well, I have a support group and some family members that we kind of talk and support each other and communicate often. And, you know, we found ourselves being a little fearful during the pandemic, not just due to the fact that a virus is going around that's making people ill and even taking lives, but all the other unknown variables, not being able to leave your home or going here or going there, dealing with a government that can't be trusted, realizing that there are things that have occurred where we kind of are dependent upon institutions that could feed us or not. You know, so we have dealt with a lot during this pandemic. And I'm just wondering, were there any moments you as a educated man with the background and resources that you have, that you felt anything that you could share with us in terms of an unknown experience going through this pandemic?
Well, I guess the whole, you know, I'll be honest with you, like, I don't know if I don't really feel fearful, but I believe in taking precautions and taking precautions, you know, like I wear my face mask, you know, I make sure I wash my hands. I don't really like to be around large crowds or a bunch of people, primarily because, you know, they say, like, even if you get it, you can either not have symptoms, be sick or die. You know, I don't even like having a regular flu, so I don't like being sick. That's one. But,
right.
You know, I just, in a sense, I don't want to hurt people around me. I don't want to hurt myself. So I take precautions. I'm not out here reckless.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that being told to have to stay in and not do this is like taking away my liberties. To be completely honest, this has been like, it sounds bad, and I don't want people to take it any kind of way, because I have had family members pass away, people I know pass away. But for me, this has been like really peaceful for me, actually, because I'm not out spending a lot of money. I'm not overindulging on food and just going out doing stuff.
So you mean you realize that the simple things,
yeah,
you're enjoying the simple things, yes.
Yeah, and it's giving me more time to build better relationships with my loved ones and just take that time to relax. You know, like I said, I still have a 9-to-5, so not having to go in, working remotely has been relaxing. You know, I'm just enjoying the time until I'm just enjoying it while it lasts, because I know it's not going to last forever, and we had to get back to driving to work, dealing with people and all this stuff. So I'm just enjoying it, taking precautions and really just trying to be the best person I can be to the people that I'm interacting with, you know, to be honest with you, not trying to put unnecessary stress on people's lives, you know. To me, this time right now, it's just to be like, look, everybody needs to get together, appreciate one another, enjoy one another, and just be there for one another. Because without each other during this pandemic, what do we have, you know? I look at it like this. Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to go too much longer, but just think about it. Like right now, if everybody decided they wanted to go off, this is the perfect opportunity, you know. But people are keeping everything together. Like, the people are doing it. So it seems like people want to have peace and some kind of order in life. So, like, why not respect that, you know?
Absolutely. Well said. Absolutely. So at this point of the show, we want to make sure that any of the callers or, excuse me, listeners that are on the call and the show have any type of interaction. We want to hear from you guys. We want to hear what you have to say. If you are on a call, you can push one. I haven't figured out, and I'm not sure if Blog Talk has been as specific as we need them to be about, if people are online. I know that a couple people were complaining that they sent a message last time and we weren't able to see it, but try again. Call the number that we had on the flyers so that we could get you guys in the show. And all you need to do in order to talk is press the 1. If you press 1, it's going to pop up and we're going to bring the callers on. I know there were a couple people that told me they wanted to talk and engage in this conversation, so we're looking for that. We're looking for any questions you may have, and or simply tell us what your experiences are. You can relate to Cliff's lifestyle with him being at the college level, working on the college level now. I'm sure that's something that we can all try to figure out what's going on with them, because it's a different dynamics. So pop in. Anybody have any questions? Diane, do we see any ones?
No, not right now. We don't see any ones.
You guys got any questions? Diane, you got any questions for Mr. Cliff Harkle?
I don't. I'm enjoying the dialogue. I'm just.
I know, me
like, okay.
Me too.
You know.
But I've always enjoyed Cliff. Always.
Yeah. And see, this is my first time, being on this end of him. I'm just truly enjoying it. And I probably, you know, I want to believe that those that are on the line, while we have had some to come on and pop off, because we know, you know, people have other things to do, but I think they're enjoying it just as much as I am. And you guys can keep going. I don't have any questions. Yeah, I was going to say I don't have any questions because if I come up with one, I'll let you know. But I think you guys are covering everything. I really do.
Well, here's the cake and the ice cream on my side. By the way, again, everybody that has an interest or some questions, just chime in, push the one, and you can talk. But the thing that makes this interesting and the reason why Cliff is a guest is because he does share so openly. It isn't the easiest thing to do to express yourself and have it kind of correlate with like a natural delivery. Cliff has that gift, the gift of sharing and the gift of tidying up a subject matter. Start at the beginning, he'll give you the meat and potatoes in the middle, and he'll have a conclusive ending, and I appreciate that. And the times that I've spent around him, you know, professionally and personally, it's always been a pleasant exchange, very positive energy, and I know that he is truly committed to what he was doing, whether it's, like he said, the kids that he would take out. My production company first met Cliff in the interaction at UMES where we went to the Upward Balance program and just spoke to some individuals at the school. And we've had some exchange of other activities there. And like I said, it's kind of difficult to and by the way, I'm going to stop talking now because someone's pushed one, but it's kind of difficult to not remember someone as notable as Cliff. So we have a question, and we're going to let them come in right now. And hi, this is Dear Anonymous. You're speaking with Mr. Cliff Harcum, our special guest. Announce yourself and go for it.
Okay, and that number, the last four of that number is 1766.
Hello, how you doing? Is this Cliff?
Yes.
Hey, what's up, Cliff? This is Brendan.
Hey, how you doing, man?
Doing good. So you're currently like dealing with the school right now? Like you're currently like, on a campus and everything? Okay, so
I'm
working at the school. Okay, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so how are the students dealing with, you know, the pandemic right now? Like what's their top concerns? They're complaining.
Well, really, like right now, you know, a lot of the seniors are upset about graduation. It's really just a lot of questions, like what's it going to be like going into the fall semester? Will students be on campus? It's really just a bunch of questions, you know, like what's the future looking like for my education and for me? That's really like the tone right now when it comes to the collegiate environment. And it's understandable, like even as professionals, you know, we feel the same way. We're trying to adopt plans and things to adjust to various scenarios, which is kind of hard because things are changing like every day. New information is coming out every day, new guidelines every day. So I think everybody's trying to figure out what's going to happen next. How is all of this pandemic going to play out, you know, and what can you do to prepare for it? It's difficult. It's very difficult.
Right. Do you think that a lot of the students are, like, questioning on even coming back to school?
Yeah. That's from my experience and from the people I've spoken to at times, yeah, some people are. Because, you know, when you go to college, you go there for your degree, but you also go to college for the experience. And, you know, just imagine a situation where, like, right now, with social distancing, only 10 people can be in the area, all 6 feet away from each other. So it's like, how can you have a great college experience like that, you know, when you can't just be free to – yeah, it's tough.
Yeah, especially if it's your first year also.
Exactly.
I can't imagine being a school and this is the first thing I got to go through.
Yeah, but it's tough because this is just what the world is going through for the most part. And in particular, you know, the United States, we have the most cases throughout the world so far. and most deaths. So it's one of them situations, because you don't only have to think about the students' ideas, but also the faculty. Because at a lot of universities, faculty members are pretty old, and the elderly population or 50-plus population are dying. So they're scared to go back into the classroom and teach as well. So it's a tricky situation. And if you're a student who's not an internet type of person, or you may not have good internet, or, you know, that's a whole other complication in itself. It's a complicated situation, I'm telling you.
Yeah, it's very complicated. Even as far as the students that the ones that were working, that have to pay for, you know, maybe they live in Talens or Arden. So how are they, like, kind of getting through it as far as, like, payment wise? Like,
oh, well, I don't work at UMS anymore. I used to work there, but just looking at what's going on nationally throughout America. I'm not sure, because every state has different rules, but I'm sure it's difficult on them because they might have lost their job, but they need housing. It's just so complicated, and I guess it comes down to the White House and then the governors of each state on how they're going to work with that. I can't even say, man, to be honest with you.
All right.
But I know it's difficult, though, because prime example where I work now, you have students, like, say their family members got laid off. They have to work now, take care of some of the kids and all this other stuff, and still try to go to college, you know? And some kids that I've spoken to may not even come back because they have to work, like, two jobs. So it's one of them things. I don't know. It's one of them things.
You know, to the caller as well, I found out that some of the dynamics with these kids, like having to go home, that wasn't even positive. Some of those kids came to college and had an escape, and now they don't.
Yeah, get away.
You know, so there's some underlying things that we'll never be able to understand, but it just is what everyone has to deal with. No one can do anything about it.
Nope.
But caller, thank you so much. I appreciate your engaging with Mr. Cliff Harcum. We thank you, and you stay with the show and tell your friends about it and pass it on. But we thank you so much for your input.
Okay, so I'll press 1 to get out.
You can just listen.
All right.
No, you can continue to listen to the show. I'm going to put you back in mute, caller.
All right, thank you.
Yeah, Cliff, I have heard a lot of different stories about what's going on, college, high school, any educational system, because we just don't know the variables of how all this is unfolding. I really wish that there was better systematic processes and procedures in place. Like, we got all these social workers, we got all these guidance counselors and things like that, but how many people can really get to the crux of an issue? You have thousands and thousands of students going home. There's no way to trace them all down and make sure that they're all doing well. And once the educational loans have been paid to the school's paid. There's only been so much you can do in a pandemic when no one knows what's getting ready to happen the next day. So this is one of those things I said – this is definitely something new under the sun. People like you that these students can talk to and go to, you know, as a diversity officer now, it's beautiful to know that there's people like you that would be able to offer or lend a little bit of positive information or positive interaction. That's what we need in the community.
Yeah, but it's a challenging situation, because just think about it, right? You have K through 12 closed. And you have, like, childcare facilities, you know. So if they can't open up, how can people go back to work to have kids? Like, it's just one of them things. Like, say everything does open up, but your child can't go back to school. Or you can't, if you have a younger child, they can't go to the after-school program or before-care program. Or what do you do? You know, how can you go to work if you don't have anybody that can watch your child? Or your child, you know, Like right now, my child.
Oh, we know we're in a pickle.
Home.
Yes, like, we're in a pickle.
How,
we're in a pickle here
in
society.
How can average people go back to work? And what about those people who jobs are just gone for good? Like, what do you do?
Yeah.
It's just a tough situation. I don't know. And that's why I
it
said
is
earlier
a tough
about
situation.
The peace. You know, earlier I said something about peace, and I said something about people coming together. You know, like, this is the perfect time. It's not any time that people should come together, whether it's families, strangers, because we all need each other to make it right now to a degree, unless you're just super well off. But even a well off
right.
people, they still need to get groceries. They still need groceries. They still need essential services. So, well, you know, this really shows like we're all connected regardless of your financial situation or stock.
Yeah,
life. We
true.
Are all on the, we
true.
All on the same page.
We
life,
all in the same
whatever.
Boat.
Yeah.
I kind of started to think that when we had a lot of different races and class of people revolting, I thought to myself, it must be the reality that we are all equal right now in society. You know, there is no social class that protects you from a virus. There's no situation. I don't care if you live in a mansion with 20
yep.
bathrooms. We all have the same, you know, or someone in a single room apartment. We all have
mm-hmm.
the same risk and the same threat. And at that juncture, to be honest with you, it is one of those things that you have to look level across the board and hope that everybody has the same intention of making it through on the positive side. This
mm-hmm.
pandemic has brought out some positives and negatives of our society, and that's just to be expected. I would hope
yeah.
that what we lend in terms of advice and offering support to each other, it just keeps the steam off of it a little bit. It gives us a little bit
yeah.
more time to walk forward and to survive it, you know, to be able to communicate and talk and share with each other. Hopefully it
mm-hmm.
helps. So we're
yeah.
just going to see if
and
there's any more questions. I know we have a couple more people that just came on. They may have some questions. But Cliff, continue to share with us, and we'll see who pops.
Okay. So what do you want to talk about? It's whatever you want to
So one of the things that the last thing that I needed to get out in terms of my question with you is when we talked about the location, the whole relocation for your life, and you kind of said you went out into the middle of nowhere. That type of retransitioning seems a little scary to me. How were you able to deal with new environment? You're talking about leaving where you were, going to a whole new environment. Were there challenges to that? Are there things that you can tell people and how to adjust to just being leaving everything that you know behind and seeing everything for a new experience?
And look, Jazz, I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I went to an extreme environment. I'm in the mountains where I'm in below 20 degrees weather. It's crazy. It's a hostile environment. I live in the mountains, in the woods. It's crazy.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. It's kind of what I wanted to do. Like, I just wanted to get away and just be at peace and relax. So for me, I'm in heaven, you know, it's challenging.
Mm.
So like I said, it was one of my biggest fears. So why not face your fear to the max and put yourself in a situation where you would never even think about being, like where I'm at right now, I'll be honest with you. It's less than 1% black people where I live in the mountains. That's the thing in itself. Coming from Baltimore, you know.
Wow.
Yeah, it's different, you know, but it's fine because, you know, what I've learned is I've learned a lot more survival skills. I've purchased boats, all kinds of stuff, tents. Listen, I know so much about outdoors and winter wear and all kinds of ways to survive in hostile climates and situations that I never would have learned being in Maryland or being in Baltimore or being on the Eastern Shore. So I kind of look at it as me growing as a person, you know, and
mm-hmm.
I'm actually fine with relocating to another environment, you know, just to
mm-hmm.
live. Like I told you, my whole premise in my lifestyle is about living now, like living my life, not living now irresponsibly, but just living,
mm-hmm.
you know, living life, living, exploring and not just being stuck in a box. Like, I'm from Baltimore, right? So, you know, like most people mm-hmm. in Baltimore, they like, look, I'm from Baltimore City. I'm going to stay in the city. I'm going to die in the city. My family live in the city. Why do I need to go anywhere else? I have everything I need
concrete.
Right here.
Right. Concrete job.
You know,
mm-hmm.
to break out of that, to go to the Eastern Shore, which was rural, to then move to the middle of nowhere in the mountains, it's like, for me, I'm doing myself a service. I'm doing a service for my son. I'm just doing, even my family, they can look at that and maybe get inspired, or my friends, like, man, like, this dude crazy. He just do whatever. But it's showing that it's a possibility. You know, I'm not homeless. I'm not starving. I'm doing pretty well. You know, it just shows that you don't have to be scared. You know, go after what you want.
Well, you know, that is one thing that you bring up that it's a little of interest to me, because you did say you're in a racial inequal area. You know, the racial diversity is minimum. And with all of the racial sensitivities that go on naturally here in the United States, and even more heightened to this, you know, to the times that we're dealing with now, I kind of have a theory that the narrative has to always be, don't let anyone put you in a box, you know. So I don't care where you go on this God's green earth, you belong there. You know, whether someone else has a problem with it, that's on them. So wherever you go on this God's green earth, that's their problem. You know, they're the ones with the imbalance, and you just have to find a way to make your home wherever you choose to go. That is a part of freedom that we are, you know, are given as divine humans walking this planet. Now, do you have any opinions, or how do you deal with the diversity, lack of diversity in your area?
Well, I kind of always look at it like this. You know, I guess traditionally, you know, due to slavery and stuff, you know, we put ourselves in our own boxes, you know, whether it's with your job, whether it's with, you know, we box out, like anybody, we box our own selves. And I don't just think it's black people. I think people in general box themselves in because they may not believe something is for them, or they may not believe that it's possible for them. And people like to be comfortable. Like, who doesn't want to be comfortable? But I don't know. I like I say, just from my own just personal experiences and coming out of my comfort zone like a million times and baby steps of, you know, my first comfort coming out of my comfort zone started when I went to college on the Eastern Shore. My second comfort zone started when I pledged in college. I pledged group by group. I went over in 403. That took me way out my comfort zone. And after that experience, I was just doing little things to take myself out of my comfort zone, even with the work I was doing. A lot of the stuff that I was doing, it was new to me, and it was uncomfortable, and I would get stressed. But each time I grew and developed as a person, I gained new skills, I met new people, you know, and added more to my life story and life experience. So I figured, like, you know, if I were to have a conversation with someone, I'm not just limited to what I can speak about, you know. I can speak to a lot of people about a lot of different things because of the experiences that I've allotted myself to have. So, you know, the whole coming out your comfort zone kind of idea, regardless of, like, right now, like I said, I'm it's less than 1% of black people where I live. Like, I can still talk about stuff, you know. And if, like you say, if they have a problem with me,
and you should.
That's their
right.
problem. Like, I don't bother people. I don't
stay true. Oh, well, stay true to yourself. Yeah. That's very important to stay true to yourself.
And I don't really deal with that racism stuff. Like, I'm not a person that's, like, scared to speak up. Like, somebody says or does something to me that's ridiculous, I'm not timid. Like, we don't even have them type of conversations. I'm not a go along and get along God. I'm not a God that's just going to let people say whatever they want to me either. You know,
okay,
I'm educated.
So,
I'm not saying
it's
that
so
crazy,
important.
But it's just, I'm looking at it like this. Look, I'm a man. You know, I'm a human being. You know, I work hard. I'm respectful. So it's like, if I'm going to be disrespected, like, we could talk. But don't think I'm being intimidated or threatened or whatever by whatever. Because I'm trying to live my life just like they trying to live theirs. So I don't know. I don't really get bothered with stuff like that.
Well, as your position as diversity officer, and you have this adventure, this adventurous thing. So those are the two things that you're kind of cemented in right now. Is it a platform that you would also be willing to share outside of your employment as a diversity officer? I would assume that you learn a lot there, and it might be valuable to others that can take your platform and grow from it.
Yeah, definitely. Like what the role I'm in now, I'm learning a lot of different things. I'm learning a lot of skills. I'm learning a lot of information. You know, I'm learning a lot, actually, because it's something different, like focusing straight up on diversity and working in a population where there has been some hate, some bias-related incidents, and how to communicate and facilitate discussions. And just getting, you know, I'm learning skills. I'm learning a skill set that I think is valuable in all walks of life, and that's kind of why I wanted to go on this path of being working in the diversity field, because I just think overall it'll enhance my abilities, but also I know from my experience I'm able to provide a different outlook that may not have been provided, on top of the fact of like my personality. Like, you know,
absolutely.
A lot of people, some people don't like to rock the boat. Some people are yes men. Some people are to go along to get along. Some people, I'm just not that person. So being that I'm in a position and I'm not that person, you know, people, when they talk to me, people from different backgrounds, they feel more comfortable being real with me. And, you know, if I can do that for them, to give them that outlet where they can be themselves, then I've added value to their experience. So, you know, that's a benefit. So we're all benefiting, you know, from the situation.
And I think that is component of what our show is trying to do. You just said that, you know, whatever it is that you want to share with a person, it may be the first time they've ever heard it. So I actually have an understanding towards people not being able to relate to certain things, including race issues. They may not have ever heard certain things. People are inside their own bubbles from time to time, what background they've had, whatever footprints they've taken, the steps that they've taken in their life may have never crossed paths with something that they are unaware of. So I do appreciate and can appreciate where you just came from. You have to share. You have to be able to go the extra mile to share your perspective, because it could be the first time that person's getting it, and you don't know what sparks them to go forward with that information. A light bulb comes on quite often when you share a position that a person has never heard before, and when that light bulb comes on, it should be bright enough to join to other people. So I applaud you in that position. Now, I'm just going to ask, we have quite a few listeners. Just wondering, does anyone else have any questions for Mr. Cliff Harkham? Here, he's an adventurist and our diversity officer. And to be honest with you, he's an author. He's a father. He is a person of great knowledge and information. What I respect so seriously is that when he was writing his book, or at least publishing the last version, his main intention was to make sure that he left a piece of himself for his family. This could be something they could refer to forever. That's big. It's not just a memory. It's you. It's pieces of you on paper. And it's in steps and stages. You know, you can see the growth. You can see the change. It's one of those things where you're all natural. And I can appreciate that as a author myself, and of course the publisher of the book, but it was a good thing because it lends a piece of you that we may not have been able to know. You can't learn a lot about a person just by having a conversation with them, but when you put all that information in your book, that's when we got a whole glimpse of who Cliff Harkham is, and I applaud you for that. Now I see that a couple people are listening. I don't know if they're listening online, but do we have any questions from the listeners for Mr. Harkham or myself? Or anything you want to know about the show, just let us know. We can pass that information on. We have this platform for all of you. This is our way of sharing and gaining and growing in communication with special people in society. One of the things that I would like to share with the listeners is that I'm not a respecter of celebrity. So what I am is a respecter of all the common folks that makes up those celebrities. We're all celebrities. So I go the next level into the next level to make sure that people that have specialness in all of us get shine here on my show. So if there's any questions, just let us know. Diane, do we have anything?
No, there are no questions right now.
Okay, great. So what do is we'll do a quick summary with Mr. Harkham. If you could give us some indications and details as to where we could find your writings, your books, if you have a social media page, if people want to contact you just to stay in contact. They may have questions offline. If someone comes to us, I can connect you. Mr. Cliff Harkham, how can we track down your social media pages? And in your book,
okay,
if we want to go get those.
Okay, well, I'm on Facebook and Instagram. You can just look me up. That's my name. I believe my Facebook is Cliff, me being me, Harkham. On Instagram, I think it's TravelingMan83. If you want to purchase any of my books or if you're interested in them, I'm on Amazon. My first book is called Passion. And the second book under Jazz's publishing house is called Luminous. And that can be found on Amazon as well. I would really recommend that you purchase Luminous because it's everything, you know. It's a story from when
is.
I first started
yes.
up until, like, 2017. It's pretty interesting. You know, I don't know if you have, like, kids or you're trying to do some self-reflection. I just think it's a good book just in general if you just want to just do some self-reflection on your own life because, you know, that's what I was doing while I was writing them, just questioning myself and learning things about myself as I wrote. So that's where you can find those. If you have any questions or you want to contact me, even about Live Now, because I really want to develop this into something sort of like a social kind of app sort of business. IM me, direct message me at either my Facebook page or my Instagram page. I know right now we had a pandemic, so social distancing is a big thing, but I think getting people together, breaking from the 9 to 5, and just having that time to just take risks and explore and meet new people is very important, and it's much needed in society, especially if you have a common interest. So please just DM me.
Thank you so much, Cliff. You know, I have admired your style because you are a sharer, and we need more Black men like you on the front lines that can talk and share and you know, give us a taste of your passion because it could inspire the next. Now, in this particular case, you've given all of your contact information, and I have welcomed you on our show. And prayerfully, when there are new things that come about, if you have something, some new adventure or anything else you want to share with us, we're going to welcome you back all the time and every time that you have time for us because we appreciate you sharing pieces of you with us. That's the whole crux of Dear Anonymous. And if you guys have any questions while we're offline, you can always email us. Or if you want to have a connection to some of Cliff's information and it's not time for you to either remember it or write it down right now, you can always email us at drinkalkalife24.7@gmail.com. And Cliff, you also, if you have people that you know are struggling with communication or just need a listening ear or a shoulder to cry on or someone that has a support need, we are here for that. I have a support team of people, myself and others included, that if you want to reach out, so people have private matters that they just really want someone to be able to listen to. That is us. We are here for that. Our sponsors have given us the email address, and we have it monitored daily, and that's just our goal. Our goal is to keep the community connected. And I thank you all, my listening ears. Go ahead, Cliff.
Yeah, and real quick, Jazz, before I get off, I wanted to thank you for having me on your show. Like I said, you know, I haven't candidly to anyone or a group or whoever's listening for a long time. So, you know, the whole concept that you've developed and you and your team develop, I think it's necessary. Like, I've been out of it. So this was like my first time back out talking to people. So I appreciate it. I know it's been very helpful for me just to even be able to speak out loud to you all. About different things I've been thinking and going through. So this whole concept, I think, is great. I really do. And I hope a lot of people really tune in.
I hope a lot of people join us. I do, too. And I thank you, Cliff, for your appreciation of us because that's really what it's about. It's a circle of appreciation. And we're finding that it's growing, and we know that the ball of energy will continue to expand because it's nothing more natural than just giving a piece of yourself. It's nothing more natural than that. It all begins with the words that come out of our mouth. So here we are at Dear Anonymous, being open to the general public for any type of communication that is needed. And we'll go on as long as we need to go on through this pandemic and into the summertime. We know a lot of people are going to start moving around, but for those of us that have a phone, we can always put that phone to our ear and call in to a Dear Anonymous on Tuesdays and Thursday nights. Anyone that needs private sessions, please contact us. And also, if you know people that you want to refer to the show, tell them to hit us on the email. If they want to be a guest or if they have some questions or critiques even, we're open. And again, I need to just thank you so much, Mr. Cliff Harcum, for being our guest, and take back the thanks to your family. And we support you guys, even if you're not even here in our area anymore. We're in Maryland. You're all the way up in somewhere out in the mountains, but we support you guys, and thank you for your time. We thank you so much for your time this evening, Cliff.
All right, thank you again. Have a good night.
You too. And lastly, let me just say, for all the purposes of our show, you can reach us 24/7 at drinkalkalife24.7 at gmail.com. And you can call in on any show and just stay with us for the time frame that you have. If you hear something good, speak up about it. If you want to go pop out and pop back in, we are always going to be here chatting it up with all the special guests that we have and trying to find topics and subject matters that matter to you. If you want to email us about those subject matters, we'll dig down some guests and bring them to the show for you. As I said earlier, when the show opened, the show is sponsored by Alkalife 24/7. It's coming soon to Walmart Marketplace. It should be launching within the next 30 days, and we'll be giving you guys some details and information on where to go buy that alkaline water. Alkaline water, as we all know, or you should know, is one of the best holistic versions of keeping your body, your strength, all the endorphins and everything that's inside of you. Alkaline or pH balance is very important. For those who are holistic health nuts, you already know what I'm speaking of. And this talk show is for the benefit of all of us. So myself and Mrs. Diane Rembert, who is the creator and of Diamond's World and runs Diamond's World, she's a literary extraordinaire. I love her and thank her every time we come on. She is a positive light to me and supports my endeavors, and I do the same for her. We are Dear Anonymous. Our words are free contributions to our human playground. I'm learning on this journey, and the communication is you leaving little pieces of you. If you have anything that you need from Dear Anonymous, we're here every Tuesday and Thursday. Next week's shows are going to be fantabulous. We have a gentleman on Thursday of next week from out of Easton. He's an artist and he's self-employed, and he's going to speak to us from being an artist and being able to express himself in song and in poetry and in spoken words. We have another artist his name is Taj. We have another artist out of Washington, D.C. His name is Kenny Sky, and he's going to be sharing with us his passion for expressing himself in song. And artists are the ones that get to do it freely and have that opportunity to express themselves, no holds bars. I respect that. So that's next Thursday's show. On Tuesday, we have a young lady that we're waiting for her to get a little better. She had a little bit of a she had a boo-boo that she had for next Tuesday's show. So I'll be announcing her in the middle of the week, and you'll be seeing some promotions about her, just confirming that she's there. And if she's not, we're going to have a backup guest, and that's going to be a surprise guest, and I'll let you guys know when all that's confirmed. But again, I thank you guys. My current mood is that real life has interrupted my plans, so I'm here with you guys sharing who I am and thanking you guys for sharing who you are with us. And this is the talk show, Dear Anonymous. We'll be closing for the night. And after every session, I thank you. Peace and positivity to all.
makes any difference. I still love you, girl. You're my weakness.